On the 8th of December, Joachim was woken by Mama. She ruffled his hair and said, "Time to get up, Joachim. It's 7:30 and you start school early today." He drew himself up in bed. The first thing he thought of was the magic advent calendar hanging above his head. Mama seemed to read his thoughts. "But you have time to open the advent calendar," Joachim thought quickly. He thought so quickly that there was room for an awful lot of thoughts before Mama went on. "Aren't you going to open it then? I'd like to see it." "No," thought Joachim. He couldn't open the advent calendar while Mum was watching. "I don't think you're properly awake yet," Mama went on. "Perhaps you'll let me open the advent calendar today." "No," said Joachim so loudly and clearly that Mama jumped. "I'll wait till I come home from school. I'll have more time then." He jumped out of bed quickly to be quite certain Mama wasn't going to start opening the calendar. "Of course, you do just as you like," she said. She went out to the kitchen while Joachim got dressed. When Joachim came home from school, a man he did not recognize was standing outside the garden gate. Since he didn't know the man, Joachim pretended he hadn't seen him. He opened the gate and closed it after him. "Is your name Joachim?" asked the stranger. Joachim stopped on the path that Papa had almost cleaned of snow and turned towards the man. He was quite old. He looked kind too. Joachim didn't like someone he didn't know to know his name, but he had to answer. "Yes, that's me." The man nodded. He came right up to the gate and leaned over it. He was wearing a green felt hat. "I thought so." He had a rather odd accent. Perhaps he wasn't Norwegian. "You've been given a fine advent calendar, haven't you?" Joachim gave a start. How did he know that? "A magic advent calendar," answered Joachim. A magic advent calendar, yes. Price 75 or. My name's John. I sell flowers at the market." Joachim stood stock still without saying anything. In his advent calendar, he had read about people who had suddenly seen an angel. Now it was almost as if he was being visited by an angel himself. He knew this meeting with the flower seller was important, and he wanted to say something serious, but he only managed, "How do you know where I lived?" John chuckled to himself. "Good question, my boy. I often go into the bookshop, you see. I like it there. I wanted to hear where the old calendar had ended up. It was a good thing your father forgot his driving license. If he hadn't, it would have been much more difficult for me to find you. But I expect you'd have come down to me on the market sooner or later. Don't you think so?" Joachim nodded. He had thought so. "Did you know there were some pieces of paper in the advent calendar?" he asked. "If there's anyone in the whole world who knows, it must be me. And now you know it too," said John. "Is it homemade?" "Completely homemade, yes, and very old. But that's an old story too. Have you opened the calendar today?" Joachim shook his head. "I have to do it when Mama and Papa aren't looking, because I don't want them to know about the pieces of paper. I'm going to pack them up on Christmas Eve and put them under the Christmas tree." "That's a good idea," said John. "But what about yesterday then? Didn't the pilgrims take a sheep with them from the old castle on Finn, and the angel Ephiriel had to say, 'Be not afraid,' to the sentries at the castle?" Joachim was almost scared because John knew all about it. Did you make the magic advent calendar?" he asked. "Yes and no." Joachim was afraid he might go, so he quickly asked another question. "Did it all really happen, or did you make it up?" John looked serious. "It's all right to ask, but it isn't always easy to answer," Joachim said. "I wonder whether Elizabeth in the magic advent calendar was the same as the Elizabeth whose picture was in the bookshop." "So he told you about the old picture too," said John, sighing heavily. Well, I have nothing to hide anymore. I'm too old for that now. But it isn't Christmas yet, so we'd better talk about Elizabeth another time." He took a step back. "Sabat Tibas," he mumbled to himself. Joachim didn't understand that, but perhaps he hadn't been meant to hear it. Finally, John said, "I must go now, but we'll meet again, for that old story links us human beings together." He walked away rapidly and soon disappeared. Joachim was annoyed that he hadn't had time to ask more questions. He ought to have asked whether the big advent calendar, whether the big calendar picture was gradually changing as he read the pieces of paper. He hurried into the house and opened the door with the number 8 on it. Today, there was a picture of a shepherd carrying a lamb on his shoulders. Joachim picked up the paper, smoothed it out carefully, and read. Jacob. On one of the last days of the year, 1499 after Christ, 4 sheep, 1 shepherd, 1 king of the Orient, 1 angel, and a little girl from Norway flocked out of a boat that had brought them across the little belt to Jutland.
"Thank goodness,"
exclaimed Caspar as they stepped on land. "Yes, it'll be a long time now before we have to go to that again," replied Joshua. The angel Ephiriel nodded. "Verily I say unto you that there will be only one more time before we get to Bethlehem." Elizabeth had no idea what they were talking about.
"Isn't it still terribly far to Bethlehem?" she asked.
"Yes, indeed," said the angel. "It is far, and many hundreds of years too, but there is only one more stretch of ocean to cross. That won't happen until we get to the Black Sea." The little procession came to a town at the inner end of a fjord. At one end of the town stood a large fortress. "This town is called Kolding and is in South Jutland," said the angel Ephiriel. "It has been an important trading place for hundreds of years. The fortress is called Kolding House, and the king of Denmark have often lived here. The time is 1488, after Christ's birth." Joshua struck the ground with his crook. "To Bethlehem! To Bethlehem!" They came to the top of a little ridge with fine views over the countryside. Fresh flowers were growing everywhere, so it must have been early summer. Elizabeth pointed down at the ground as she ran.
"Look at all the lovely wild flowers," she said.
The angel nodded mysteriously. "They are a part of the glory of heaven that has strayed down to earth," he exclaimed. "You see, there's so much glory in heaven that it can easily spill over." Elizabeth pondered over the angel's words and hid them in her heart. Suddenly, the shepherd stopped and pointed at the little flock of sheep. "A lamb's missing!" He needed to say no more, for all of them saw that the earth seemed to have swallowed up the lamb with the bell.
"Where is it?" exclaimed Elizabeth.
"The lambs are so charming with their white fleeces. They're delight to the eye, but they're almost uncontrollable," said Joshua. "It doesn't always help to put a bell on them either. If I'm watching one lamb, the other will suddenly vanish, and when I find the second lamb, all of a sudden the first lamb will decide to leave the flock. Shepherding is a difficult job, and it's especially difficult to herd a flock of sheep all the way to Bethlehem. As it's written, now I must leave the other sheep to look for the one lamb that's missing."
Elizabeth felt her eyes fill with tears. But just then, a man appeared over the crest of the ridge. He was wearing clothes exactly like Joshua's, and on his shoulders, he was carrying a lamb with the bell.
"He's one of us," said Ephiriel.
The man put the lamb down at Elizabeth's feet. He held out his hand to Joshua and said,
"I am Jacob, the shepherd, and the second of the shepherds in the field. Now I can help care for the flock that's going to Bethlehem."
Elizabeth clapped her hands. Joshua struck the ground with his crook and said, "To Bethlehem, to Bethlehem!" The 2 shepherds ran behind the little flock, with Caspar, the Black King, the angel Ephiriel, and Elizabeth behind them. As they were passing the old market town of Flensburg, the angel Ephiriel said, "The time is 1402 years after the birth of Christ. We shall soon be crossing the frontier into Germany and diving down into the depths of the Middle Ages." Joachim stood lost in thought. The angel Ephiriel had said that the wild flowers were part of the glory of heaven that had strayed down to earth, because there's so much glory in heaven that it can easily spill over. Probably only a flower seller could write something like that. He didn't tell Mama and Papa that John had visited him. If he told them about that, he would have to give away the secret of the scraps of paper too. Joachim now had so many secrets to keep that he felt his head could split at any moment.
All in all, it's been a blast. Fame and fortune never last. So we'll take refuge in the sound. They burned our churches to the ground. They came by the sunshine. They came by the sunshine. They came by the sun. But they can't stop the sunshine on the sun, the sun, the sun. We may have sold our very souls, but the ghosts inside the radio, they warned us once and they told us twice. This life's never very nice. But they came by the sunshine. They came by the sunshine. They came by the sun. But they can't stop the sunshine on the sun, the sun, the sun. In the sky it multiplies. They're buying up souls to fill their holes. But we know the one thing they don't know. They came by the sunshine. They came by the sunshine. They came by the sun. But they can't stop the sunshine. Stop the sunshine. They can't stop the sunshine on the sun, the sun, the sun. Shine, shine on the sun, the sun, the sun. Shine, shine on the sun, the sun, the sun.
If you've not been following along the Christmas mystery over this week, let me just do a catch-up. This time last week, we were reading about Joachim, who has bought a magic advent calendar, and he discovers in the advent calendar pieces of paper that fall out each day, and it's these pieces of paper are telling the story of a little girl called Elizabeth, who existed maybe many years ago, and she's in a department store, and a toy lamb comes to life and runs through a department store down the escalator that Elizabeth follows her, follows the lamb out into a forest, and she suddenly notices that the hands on the clock were going backwards, and it seemed like it was getting light again when it was already dark, and was meant to be heading towards night. Since then, Elizabeth has met with an angel called Ephiriel, who's very wise, and a king, one of the wise men, king of Sheba, Caspar, who's also very wise. She's also met with Joshua, a shepherd, and lots of sheep along the way. Ephiriel tells Elizabeth that since following the lamb, she's not only been traveling across geography, across space, but also back in time, through down into history. And the angel describes this traveling as going down a moving staircase, down an escalator, which Elizabeth has already started doing in the department store. She's moving down this escalator, this moving staircase, diagonally across space and down in time. And the reason she's doing that is because she's caught up in this pilgrimage to Bethlehem, to the moment when Jesus was born. And each day we see her meeting with another pilgrim, as I say, an angel, a wise man, a shepherd, and some sheep. And so we meet today our next pilgrim, another shepherd called Jacob, but not before we hear about these flowers described as the little bits of glory that have spilt over from heaven. That flowers are a bit of heaven's glory here on earth. Elsewhere in the book, Johann Sebastian Bach's music is described as bits of the glory of heaven. And people are described as bits of the glory of heaven sometimes. So we've got this story of this little girl traveling across space and down into time, down what's described as a moving staircase. So I want to just talk a bit about that. One of the things that I used to love doing as a child, on the very rare occasions, once or twice in my childhood, going abroad, going to airports. And you know those travelators at airports? I used to get on a travelator and used to love running in the direction of the travelator and pretending like I was Superman or something, running faster than the people who were walking on the normal ground. And sometimes my brother and I would race, and he would try and keep up with me on the travelator as I ran. Now, obviously, I always won because I had the momentum of the travelator to take me along. My mum used to say, "Why do you walk on? The travelator is meant to just, you're meant to stand still, and that's the purpose of it. Otherwise, you may as well just walk on the ground." And I said, "That's no fun. It gets me there quicker to run along the travelator." And this is the thing that the angel is describing to Elizabeth, that as they go through, there's something that's dragging them, not just minutes and hours back in time, but years, so that a minute feels like a year, feels like a century. So they are traveling down because there's this momentum that is dragging them and pulling them to Bethlehem. This is what history is. It does it for us. That Bethlehem is the center point of history. That if we stand still, that the natural flow of history will take us back to that moment again and again. It just draws us back to this moment in Bethlehem, this moment when God comes and dwells with his people. Elizabeth is running in the direction of it, and so therefore is getting there quicker. But as we stand still, as we wait and we watch in Advent, we allow the history to draw us back to that Bethlehem stable. Before Jesus, the prophets, in the Old Testament, the account of history, all of it was pulling history to that moment when God dwells with his people. Right from the moment that humanity made a choice to turn away from God, God was drawing us to that moment in Bethlehem. So you have the Old Testament and the prophets pointing and being dragged forward in time towards Bethlehem. And from that moment on, we've been pulling back. Now, we can run in the direction of it, like Elizabeth. But even if we just stood still, time would still drag us back to that moment again and again. Because that moment is the center point of history. The truth that God dwells with us. The other thing that I used to like doing, if I'm really honest, I still do, is running up a down escalator or running down an up escalator. You know, trying to get it so that I outrun the escalator in whatever opposite direction. Sometimes if you just give a little bit of effort and you're running, you stand still. Yeah, but you're spending a lot of effort just to stand still. You're spending a lot of energy. But if you really push yourself and really go full out sprint, you slowly trudge in the direction that you want to go. because it's dragging you back. It's always pulling you back. It feels like our culture, the further away we get from that central point of history, away from Jesus' birth, it feels like the more people are being dragged and the more energy they are expending trying to get away from it, running in the opposite direction. That Jesus is just something we're going to progress, we're going to go in this direction. Actually, there is God calling us back again and again. No, come back. Come back to me. Come back to me. And we are running full pelt just to make it a little few steps away from God, because that's all we know. Our culture at the moment is spending so much energy just to stand still. We, as God's people, hear the call of God to come back to him. That's Advent. To come back to God, to turn and allow him to draw us, to woo us in the direction of that center point of history, to see again the truth, the reality and the beauty of what it is when the glory of heaven touches earth in the most profound and history-changing moment of Jesus. That is glory on earth. And in order to encourage us to turn around, to stop running in the opposite direction and allow the moving staircase of history to take us to our destination, in order to do that, God drops glory into our way. In the underground, where I often used to run in the opposite direction, much to the bemusement of the people standing correctly on the right-hand side, they'd have, you know, in the London Underground, they have advertising going up the side. If I just stopped for a moment and saw a piece of advertising, I stopped still, that moment, that thing that catches my eye would take me back, because I would be stood still to watch it, and it would take me back down in the direction I should be travelling. Nowadays, they've got really hyper-fancy technical ones where all of the posters are electronic, and they're sort of, it often flows in the direction that you travel. So you get the same piece of advertising following it down, or there's a story that falls down. It's really clever. If when I was younger that was there, I would be running in the opposite direction. I kind of want to follow that glory back to that really intense moment when all of the glory of heaven, embodied within a little baby, lay in a manger, innocent and vulnerable. That is what we do at Advent. We've got a moving staircase of history taking us back to Bethlehem. And this Advent, we are there to tend to that drag of history, to reflect again and again that story that points all the way back to Bethlehem. Or to read before Jesus, the Old Testament, to see how it all comes to culminate in that life of that man, Jesus. When he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but left the glory of heaven and spilt over and landed here on earth to dwell with his people as a signpost, as a destination, as a center of all of history. Culmination of all things. And just as we wait and we have that sense of being drawn back to it, so he comes to meet us as a good shepherd. For that is why he left the glory of heaven, to come and find the lost sheep like you and definitely me, to come and draw us to himself, to dwell with him, our destination, our destiny. So why did I play Turin Breaks at the beginning? The lyrics talk about buying and selling, just a sort of echo from last week, where the lamb is running away from the cash registers and the buying and the selling and all that money and marketing and all those sorts of things to take us back to simplicity of the stable in Bethlehem. During break sings about people just buying and buying and buying people and buying souls. And at the end it says, but they don't know what we know. You can't buy the sun. The chorus up until that point is, you can't stop the sun. You can't stop the sunshine. You can't stop it, you can't buy it. You can't control it. You can try as much as you like, but it's like running in the opposite direction of an escalator. You're going to expend a lot of effort, and sooner or later it's going to take you. You can't buy it and you can't stop it. We have that message. We know that to be true. But still, we feel the people tempting us to run in the opposite direction of Advent story. We get closer and closer, taking us further back to that moment in Bethlehem. This Advent, don't buy into the temptation. Even if you just stand still, allow the story to take you back, to be prompted, to be reminded that God came to dwell with you, to find you, his lost sheep, to be with you, to express his love. For that is where you belong. That's where all of us belong. And he is calling to us to come back to him. Are we ready to see the signs, those bits of glory to remind us of that moment when glory came to earth? Let's pray. Lord, you have the whole world and all of time in your hands. You created it all. And you have designed us to dwell with you face to face. As the shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the wise men did in Bethlehem, as the disciples did throughout your life. Lord, take us back. Take us back to that moment when the glory of heaven was seen so profoundly on earth. Help us not to fight against the tide of history as it takes us back, reminds us the moment the world was changed forever. May we take this Advent season, be caught up in your story. We ask this in Jesus' name.